Silo 17. 53. Juliet and Rav stopped at the lower deputy station to look for another radio or a spare battery. They found neither. The charging rack was still on the wall, but it hadn't been wired into the makeshift power lines trailing through the stairwell. Juliet weighed whether or not it was worth staying there and getting some juice in the portable, or if she should just wait until they got to the mid-station or IT.
"Hey," Rav whispered. "Do you hear something?"
Juliet shined her flashlight deep into the offices. She thought she heard someone crying.
"Come on,"
she said. She left the charger alone and headed back toward the holding cells. There was a dark form sitting in the very last cell, sobbing. Juliet thought it was Hank at first, that he had wandered up to the nearest thing like a home to him, only to realize what state this world was in. But the man wore robes. It was Father Wendell, who peered up at them from behind the bars. The tears in his eyes caught in the glare of the flashlight. A small candle burned on the bench beside him, wax dripping to the ground. The door to the holding cell wasn't shut all the way. Juliet pulled it open and stepped inside.
"Father?"
The old man looked awful. He had the tattered remains of an ancient book in his hands. Not a book, but a stack of loose pages. There were pages scattered all over the bench and on the floor. As Juliet cast her light down, she could see that she was standing on a carpet of fine print. There was a pattern of black bars across all the pages, sentences and words made unreadable. Juliet had seen pages like this once in a book kept inside a cage, a book where only one sentence in five could be read.
"Leave me," Father Wendell said.
She was tempted to, but she didn't.
"Father, it's me, Juliet. What are you doing here?"
Wendell sniffled and sorted through the pages as though he were looking for something.
"Isaiah,"
he said.
"Isaiah, where are you? Everything's out of order."
"Where's your congregation?" Juliet asked.
"Not mine anymore."
He wiped his nose, and Juliet felt Raff tug on her elbow to leave the man be.
"You can't stay here," she said. "Do you have any food or water?"
"I have nothing. Go."
"Come on," Raff hissed.
Juliet adjusted the heavy load on her back, those sticks of dynamite. Father Wendell laid out more pages around his boots, checking the front and back of each as he did so.
"There's a group down below planning another dig," she told him. "I'm going to find them a better place, and they're going to get our people out of here. Maybe you could come to one of the farms with us and see about getting some food. See if you can help. The people down below could use you."
"Use me for what?"
Wendell asked. He slapped a page down on the bench, and several other pages scattered.
"Hellfire or hope," he said. "Take your pick, one or the other. Damnation or salvation. Every page. Take your pick, take your pick."
He looked up at them, beseeching them. Juliet shook her canteen, cracked the lid, and held it out to Wendell. The candle on the bench sputtered and smoked, shadows growing and shrinking. Wendell accepted the canteen and took a sip. He handed it back.
"Had to see it with my own eyes," he whispered. "I went into the dark to see the devil. I did, walked and walked, and here it is, another world. I led my flock to damnation."
He twisted up his face, studied one of the pages for a moment.
"Or salvation, take your pick."
Plucking the candle from the bench, he held a page close to it in order to see it better.
"Ah, Isaiah, there you are."
And with the baritone of a Sunday, he read,
"In the time of my favor I will answer you, and in the day of salvation I will help you. I will keep you, and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances."
Wendell touched a corner of the page to the flame and roared again.
"Its desolate inheritances!"
The page burned until he had to release it. It moved through the air like an orange shrinking bird.
"Let's go,"
Raff hissed, more insistently this time. Juliet held up a hand. She approached Father Wendell and crouched down in front of him, rested a hand on his knee. The anger she had felt toward him over Marcus was gone. The anger she had felt as he instilled outrage in his people toward her and her digging was gone. Replacing that anger was guilt, guilt from knowing that all of their fears and mistrust had been warranted.
"Father," she said, "our people will be damned if they stay in this place. I can't help them. I won't be here. They're going to need your guidance if they're to make it to the other side.
They don't need me, he said.
Yes, they do. Women in the depths of this silo weep for their babies. Men weep for their homes. They need you. And she knew this was true. It was in the hard times that they needed him the most.
You will see them through, Father Wendell said. You will see them through.
No, I won't. You are their salvation. I am off to damn those who did this. I'm going to send them straight to hell.
Wendell looked up from his lap. Hot wax flowed over his fingers, but he didn't seem to notice. The smell of burnt paper filled the room, and he rested a hand on Juliet's head.
In that case, my child, I bless your journey.
The trip up the stairwell was heavier with that blessing. Or maybe it was the weight of the explosives on her back, which Juliet knew would have been useful for the tunneling below. They could be used for salvation, but she was using them for damnation. They were like the pages of Wendell's book, in that they offered plenty of both. As she approached the farms, she reminded herself that Eric had insisted she take the dynamite. There were others eager to see her pull this off. She and Raff arrived at the lower farms, and she knew something was wrong the moment they stepped inside. Cracking the door released a surge of heat, a blast of angry air. Her first thought was a fire, and she knew from living in that silo that there were no longer any water hoses that worked. But the bloom of bright lights down the hall and along the outer grow plots hinted at something else. There was a man lying on the ground by the security gates, his body sideways across the hall. Stripped down to his shorts and undershirt, Juliet didn't recognize Deputy Hank until she was nearly upon him. She was relieved when he moved. He shielded his eyes and tightened his grip on the pistol resting on his chest. Sweat soaked his clothes.
Hank? Juliet asked. Are you okay?
She was already feeling sticky herself, and poor Raff seemed liable to wilt. The deputy sat up and rubbed the back of his neck. He pointed to the security gates.
You get a little shade if you crowd up against them.
Juliet looked down the hall at the lights. They were drawing a ton of power. Every plot appeared to be lit at once. She could smell the heat. She could smell the plants roasting in it. She wondered how long the skimpy wiring job in the stairwell could withstand such a draw of current.
Are the timers stuck? What's going on?
Hank nodded down the hallway.
People have been staking plots. A fight broke out yesterday. You know Jean Sample?
I know Jean, Raff said. From sanitation.
Hank frowned.
Jean's dead. Happened when the lights went out. And then they fought over who had rights to bury him. Treated poor Jean like fertilizer. Some folks banded together and hired me to restore order. I told them to keep the lights on until things got settled.
He wiped the back of his neck.
Before you lay into me, I know it ain't good for the crops, but they were already ravaged. My hope is to sweat these people out, make enough of them move on to give everyone some breathing space. I give it another day.
In another day, you'll have a fire somewhere. Hank, the wiring outside runs hot enough already with the lights cycling. I'm shocked they can power all of this. When a breaker goes out up on the 30s, you're going to have nothing but dark for a very long time down here.
Hank peered down the hall. Juliet saw rinds and cores and scraps of food on the other side of the gates.
How are they paying you? In food?
He nodded.
The food's all going to go bad. They plucked everything. People were just acting crazy when they got here. I think a few headed up, but there are all these rumors that the door to this silo is open, and if you go up much further, you die. And if you go down, you die. Lots of rumors.
Well, you need to dispel those rumors, Juliet said. I'm sure it's better up or down than it is here. Have you seen Solo and the kids, the ones who used to live here? I heard they came up this way.
Yep, a few of those kids were staking a plot right down the hall before I rigged the lights, but they left a few hours ago.
Hank eyed Juliet's wrist.
What time is it, anyway?
Juliet glanced at her watch.
It's 2:15.
She saw he was about to ask another question. In the afternoon, she said.
Thank you.
We're going to try and catch up with them, Juliet said. Can I leave you to handle these lights? You can't draw this much power and get more people to move up from here. The farms and the bids are doing much better, or they were when I was here. And if you have people looking for work, they can use hands in mechanical.
Hank nodded and struggled to his feet. Raff was already heading to the exit, his coveralls spotted with sweat. Juliet clasped Hank on the shoulder before heading off as well.
Hey, Hank called out. You said what time it was. But what day is it?
Juliet hesitated at the door. She turned and saw Hank gazing at her, his hand shielding his eyes.
Does it matter?
She asked. And when Hank didn't respond, she supposed it didn't. All the days were the same now, and every one numbered.